purification after childbirth. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. If she gives birth to a daughter, for 2 weeks the woman will be unclean as during her period. Then she must wait 66 days to be purified from her bleeding. When the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make an atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean from her flow of blood. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring 2 doves or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make an atonement for her and she will be clean. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now Yvonne's going to read our second reading for us. Thank you.
Second reading from the New Testament is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. Jesus is presented in the temple. A week later, when the time came for the baby to be circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name which the angel had given him before he had been conceived. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons, as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. "Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel." The child's mother and father were amazed at the things Simeon said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God which many people will speak against and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break your own heart." There was a very old prophet, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple. Day and night she worshipped God, fasting and praying. At that very same hour she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. When Joseph and Mary had finished doing all that was required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew and became strong, He was full of wisdom, and God's blessing was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Yvonne. So let's pray for Keith as Keith comes to speak now. Father, we ask for your blessing, your spirit, your inspiration to be on Keith as he brings your word to us today. Be with him, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right. Thanks very much for asking me to preach. It's a privilege. Thank you. It's Candlemas. That's a funny old name, isn't it? Another feast day. We do like feast days, don't we, as Anglicans? So why not? Let's have another one. Christmas is gone, Epiphany is gone, and here we are at Candlemas. Candles, lights, processions, the light of the world, all celebrated in different ways in different countries. I think the French eat crepes, I think, on Candlemas. And it's also Groundhog Day, I think, in the USA, I think. So, well, there you go. Lots of different things going on. So I'm just going to show a quick video, if I can. Watch out for Simeon, but there is no Anna in this one, I'm afraid. I'm sorry about that. And it is all about the presentation of Jesus in the temple, or to the temple.
What is the child's name?
Jeremiah.
Have you had him as a child?
Yes, ma'am.
Is the mother pure?
Yes, she is.
Very good. Next.
This is my firstborn son. We are here to present him to the Lord according to the law. These are the turtle doves for the sacrifice.
Have you had him circumcised?
8 days after his birth, according to the law.
Is the mother pure?
The prescribed number of days has passed.
What is the child's name?
Jesus.
Jesus.
I'll say to it. I was waiting. Mary. Here he is. Now, O Lord, allow your servant to depart in peace, as you have promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation, light to illuminate mankind, and the glory of your people, Israel. I knew that I would not die before seeing him, and now I have seen him.
Father! You need to sign the papers.
Yes, certainly.
I warn you, my child. Your son will mean the ruin of many.
What do you mean, the ruin? He's the Messiah, the savior of us all. You too said that.
He will be a sign of contradiction. Because of him, the thoughts of all hearts will be revealed. And you, my daughter.
And me? Please tell me. Don't hide anything from me.
A sword will pierce your soul.
Yeah, that was I saw that on the internet, and I thought that was something which I just wanted to show. It's a video, isn't it, that showed a bustling temple, families bringing their babies to be consecrated, all very busy, just like our society, just getting on with things, following the rules, following restrictions, doing the things that need doing, normal everyday things. But for Mary and Joseph, it was a very special day. You know, they were bringing Jesus to the temple for the first time. This was a big deal for this family. Jesus had already been circumcised 8 days after the birth, and he was named Jesus as the angel had commanded. This was all about fulfilling the old Jewish law that went way back. And here they are stepping into the temple for the first time. Jesus would step into the temple on a number of occasions in his life, but that's for another time. You know, perhaps you want to read more of Luke, and I would ask you to perhaps do that. So questions. Questions are always good, I think. Why did they have to go through all of this? Well, it was obviously to fulfill the law. It was 40 days after Jesus' birth, and Mary's ritual purification time was about to end. On top of all that, they were presenting Jesus as their firstborn in obedience to the Torah. And thank you, Helen, for reading that awkward chapter. Now, they also brought the required sacrifice of two doves or two pigeons. They could have brought a lamb, but we presumed that they were poor. So, you know, that was a sacrifice that was okay. So another question, why is Luke being so particular in mentioning these things? Well, I think Luke wanted to emphasize that our Lord's relationship to the law is an important part of his saving ministry. You know, he was born under the law, and it also says in Galatians, where in Paul's letter to the Galatians, in chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So his parents and he perfectly obeyed the law by coming to the temple on that day." And it goes on in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. It goes on to say that he will redeem us from being under the curse of the law, and that we will have the rights of sons, which is just amazing, isn't it? So right at the start of Jesus's life, there is this desire, even though he was in fact the lawgiver, that he was going to rescue us from the law's demands. Therefore, he was willing to be under the law. And Galatians 4 goes on to say that we are able to be called sons and daughters, and we can call God Abba Father. No longer slaves under the law, but free people and sons and daughters, and also heirs. Amazing, isn't it? You know, the law and religion, it's okay. The family were doing the religious thing. They were doing lawful acts. But we need to know that we are in our understanding of how God interacts with us as humans. Yes, there has to be rules and regulations in society and in the church. Otherwise, it would be a free-for-all, wouldn't it? But this is not what we need. What we need is a saviour. I have to say, I don't particularly like religion. The old covenant way of things, religion, I believe, is under the law. But we are now able to have a real relationship with the Father, with Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have been redeemed from the law. We have been freed and are then now able to be called sons and daughters and heirs of the Most High. Religion does not put us there. Christ puts us there. So a question: how do we receive, as it says, the full rights of sons, and how do we become a child of God? Well, the answer's to come, so please stay awake if you can. So let's get back to the story. Simeon turns up. What a man, an old man. Notice that the Holy Spirit is working in and upon and out of this man of God. Three times it's mentioned in the chapter. You can go back to it in verses 25 to 27. And he was waiting to see God, waiting to see the salvation of the world. And here he is, Jesus the baby. He knew that this was the day, as the Holy Spirit had told him, to go to the temple that particular day. An old man filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be that man, but not old, of course. Now, there must have been a fair number of parents and screaming babies going to the temple that day, but he knew God when he saw it. Nobody else seemed to notice that God had turned up as a baby. Mary and Joseph knew something was going on for sure, but Simeon prophesied that this baby Jesus would not just be the salvation of Israel, but the whole world. Mary was astonished at these words. Well, not really surprising, really. Salvation? Is that part of the answer to become a child of God? Then Anna comes along, another oldie. Lovely description from Luke, I think. You know, people didn't live that long, I suppose, in Israel, but she was very old, he says, and she was 84. And she lived and worshipped in the temple all the time. That must have been amazing, wasn't it? Being, as it were, marinated in the worship and prayer and fasting that went on in the temple 24/7. And she also prophesied over Jesus that he would be the redemption of Jerusalem. Israel was looking for the Messiah, and Anna's prophecy acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah that will redeem Israel. Just imagine what Mary and Joseph must have been thinking. They had come to the temple to fulfill the law, but they then heard remarkable and astonishing things from two prophetic sources that their son would be the savior of the world. Now, if I was the parent, I'm not sure I would be able to take that all in. Mary and Joseph were in fact going to have to learn more about Jesus' significance in the coming years. And we know that there will be many other adventures that the family will go through with Jesus, right up to Calvary and beyond. In fact, in the next verses, 41 to 52 of Luke chapter 2, Luke gives another account of Jesus in the temple. Perhaps you'd like to read those during the week and just ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what's going on there. So verse 40 says, a baby who grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and that's most important to the Jews, and the grace of God was upon him. So some things to pick out from this story. Firstly, you are never too old, especially if you have the Holy Spirit in you, especially if you hear God and obey him, especially if you pray for the salvation of others and proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world. So yeah, come on people, let's do some stuff. New life, another point. New life comes along when old life is fading, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, all of us can still be part of the story of salvation, not just for ourselves, but the others that we come in contact day by day. Another point, Simeon and Anna were filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Yes, it's true. But are you filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, so that you can prophesy, give words of knowledge and wisdom, to say the word that blesses others? I hope I am and you are, because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Another point, male and female roles are given prominence here by Luke. Luke is very good at that, actually. So really, it wasn't the male-dominated priests, it wasn't the Roman soldiers, but it was Simeon and Anna, normal humankind. And they welcomed Christ into the temple. And another one, patience. Oh dear, this is not very good for me. This is my downfall, really. I'm not very patient, really. But Simeon was waiting, maybe for years. But he did see God as Jesus, as God had promised him before he died. What is on your heart? What have you been praying for years, but still nothing seems to happen? You know, God will come through for you if you have heard from him. He will never go back on his word. Waiting for the Holy Spirit to move you, and then wait and see for the Holy Spirit to move you, and then see what happens. Don't give up. It will be fulfilled. So what is the answer to the earlier question? How do we become a child of God? Well, I just want to turn to John chapter 1 and just read this little few verses. John is talking about Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Now, people generally, and maybe people such as us, we don't recognize Jesus, not even as a baby, not as a child, not as a man, not as a Messiah, not as a savior. They are indifferent to him. But Simeon and Anna did recognize him, even as a baby. Mary and Joseph did, the disciples eventually did. So some receive him, but others don't, or will not even recognize him. Full stop. I have a friend like that who I keep talking to him about Jesus. He says, it's rubbish, you know, it's gobbledygook. You know, stop talking to me about it. You know, he just refuses to understand or listen. You know, even his own did not receive him. His village where he had grown up disowned him. And even his brothers did not believe him. So the question is, do you believe in him? To those who believe in him, who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become children of God, born of God, born of God. Amazing. So the answer, it is to recognize that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the God who became man, born of a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our response to this is to repent, to turn away from sin, those things that get in the way with the right relationship with God, and seek forgiveness in Christ Jesus. We need to believe, we need to have faith, a faith even as small as a mustard seed. They're very tiny. Faith in Jesus as your Savior. Jesus as a man of 30 years plus who went to the cross to die for your sin, for all our sins, once and for all. You know, we deserve death under the law, but Christ Jesus' death frees us from those who receive from the penalty of power and sin. Then, as a child of God, we need to follow Jesus, don't we? After raising up Christ from the dead, as the victor over sin and death, God gave him all authority, and by God's grace, we are born again and to a new life together as God's child. Only those who receive Jesus, not merely knowing him, but relying on him for salvation, submitting to him as Lord of all, and loving him, we are then born again, and we are adopted into his family. Incredible. Now, this may all sound a bit religious to you, and it does in a way. Do this, and I will do this. Follow my rules, and you will be all right. But this is not what it is. It's all about God doing it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he freely gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. There are no rules here, no laws to fulfill. This has all been put aside. Only a deep and compassionate love flowing from the Father, like a mighty river flowing towards us. That is how much he loves us. A free gift to take and to hold. A free transfer from being an orphan, lost and helpless, into being an adopted child. A free transfer of darkness to light. A free transfer of death to life, and to life eternal. Jesus paid the price for us. He has redeemed us, just as Simeon and Anna prophesied so many years ago. Amen.